My guest at this time is Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Keith Rothfuss. He represents the 12th Congressional District in the Keystone State. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee. And for the next several minutes, we'll be discussing our nation's fiscal health as well as some other key issues. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you.
Let's focus on tax cuts for a moment. That was the major legislative accomplishment, or I should say the biggest, for Republicans in 2017. Republicans are saying this is a huge boost to middle-class families. Democrats famously refer to these tax cuts as crumbs. What are you specifically seeing in your district, the 12th district in Pennsylvania, as a result of the tax cuts?
We're seeing a lot of positive feedback. We're seeing a lot of folks who are getting more money in their weekly or biweekly paychecks. We're hearing from people who have gotten bonuses. We've talked to small businesses that are going to be able to make new investments in their businesses to grow their businesses, hire workers, buy equipment, which means that the person who supplies the equipment is going to have a job. So we have gotten a lot of great feedback, and this is just the thing that this economy needed to really start a full recovery from the recession we had 10 years ago. You know, we've been in the slowest economic recovery since World War II, and that's because the Obama administration had a different model of recovery, one of more regulation, more control from Washington, higher taxes, more spending, and we saw the slowest growth rate in a recovery since the Great Depression. So we are looking at an economy that we want to grow from the bottom up and putting more money back into people's pockets and really creating opportunity for people.
I've heard a lot of Republicans, even in the wake of the tax bill becoming law, saying, well, this is a fantastic first step. We're going to do even more in 2018 and beyond. What can we expect? What would you specifically like to see on that front?
Well, in addition with the tax cuts, throughout the year we've been working on regulatory reform. We had 15 congressional review acts be signed by the president, taking a look at all the regulations that were coming out of the Obama administration and understanding that they did not meet an appropriate cost-benefit analysis and indeed were driving up costs for businesses and therefore less money to pay people, less money to hire people, less money to invest in their businesses. So we're going to continue our efforts on the regulatory reform front, and I'm on the Financial Services Committee. It's all about getting capital flowing again. You know, we are losing a community bank or a credit union a day in this country because of all the overregulation in the financial sector. You know, we need to find right regulation. I talk about this all the time. We want regulation that's smart, prudent, responsible. And that's the focus that we're going to have on the Financial Services Committee so that consumers can get the financial products they need, small businesses can get the loan they need, and again, to help this economy grow.
Congressman, while taxes and regulations have been addressed in the past year plus of this administration, spending has been addressed, I guess, but not perhaps in the way a lot of conservatives would like. In early February, leaders from both parties struck a budget agreement that not only boosts military spending, but also cranks up domestic spending quite a bit, leaving us with nearly $1 trillion deficits going forward. We should point out to our listeners that you voted against that agreement, but what do you think the impact of it's going to be?
We have to get serious about the spending problem that we have. We are collecting more tax revenue than ever. We have to get back to healthy economic growth because that's going to actually help generate revenues to pay for critical programs that people expect. But this was not the year. When we're looking at increasing our defense budget, and unfortunately we've had Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi holding our defense budget hostage for years, demanding additional increases on the domestic side. But when you're growing the defense budget the way we did, when you're going to offer $89 billion to help people affected by disasters in Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico, this was not the year to raise domestic non-defense spending by 12%. A family that is going through issues in their family budget at the kitchen table, look, if they had a fire at the house, they know they're going to have to put more money there and not buy other things. We have to get serious about the debt that we have. If we're going to have a $1 trillion deficit, here's a scary statistic for you. That means we are borrowing $2 million of every minute, every day of the year. That's what $1 trillion is. And you think of that, $2 million is a lot of money. That's 40 people in western Pennsylvania who might be making $50,000 a year. We have to get a handle on our spending. In the 1990s, we cut taxes, we grew revenue, we controlled spending, and we went into surplus. That's the mixture that we have to be looking at going forward.
What is the actual plan? You mentioned growth, but what plan do GOP leaders have, or what would you like to see them pursue? Because every time people try to cut spending, people like the idea in general until they get around to the program they really like. So you're not going to make a ton of friends by going after spending, but it obviously needs to be done. So what's the smart way to do it?
Well, the smart way is to have left in place the caps that we had under the prior budget agreement, except to make sure that we're taking care of defense and our veterans. And if you're going to be funding other issues, which we do have to fund, we have to put money into the opioid epidemic. But if that means you have to take a hard look at other programs across the government and see what's effective, what's not. You know, we passed a bill a couple of years ago called the Comprehensive Addiction Recovery Act, a necessary piece of legislation to address the opioid epidemic. One of the provisions of that is for the first time we're going to measure the effectiveness of some of the treatment programs. You know, imagine that. You know, we should be measuring the effectiveness of every government program, because these are hardworking taxpayers' dollars that we want to be good stewards of.
Last point on the economic front, and then we're going to talk about opioids briefly in our last couple minutes, sir. Just on Tuesday, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said interest rates would continue to rise, which is great for our savings, but it also means the interest payments on our debt are going to get bigger and bigger. And you were just mentioning a moment ago about how much debt we accrue. I think you said $2 million a minute. So as these interest rates rise, how much bigger of a problem does this become?
It is a problem. You take a look in the 1990s, and I was doing this research when we were talking about the budget bill a few weeks ago because I wanted to see what the debt was then. And at that time, we had a national debt of about $5 trillion, and we were paying about $240 billion interest on the debt. Now, with a $20 trillion debt, we're paying just about $300 billion a year. So not much different from where we were in the 1990s, but that's an indicator of the low interest rates we've had. Now, with a national debt that's at $20 trillion, the rising interest rates are going to have an impact on our bottom line in Washington, D.C. So, again, we have to be very cognizant of the environment we're in. We have to continue to press for supply side policies that are going to that would help be a downward pressure on prices. But we have some challenges ahead.
And lastly, sir, on opioids, I know it's a major priority issue for you and has been for this Congress. As you mentioned, there's already been legislation passed on that. A two-part question here, fairly broad. First, what do you believe the role of the federal government ought to be in this fight? And secondly, what is the most effective response, whether it is coming from Washington or anywhere else?
The response has to come from everywhere. This is an all-hands-on-deck situation. We have to have federal, state, local partnership. The federal government, is very much involved in health care. Part of the Comprehensive Addiction Recovery Act was, to take a look at prescription guidelines. This has been an issue that's out there, and what is the appropriate level of prescription opioids that should be given. So we want to. We have our federal agencies involved in healthcare that are developing guidelines on that front. Enforcement is big. I talk about prevention, enforcement, treatment, and on the enforcement side, we have to be taking a hard look at our border. All the heroin, or most of the heroin that we have in our country, is coming from the cartels in Mexico. If that's not a reason to secure our border, I don't know what is. So we got to be doing a much better job, and where appropriate, have barriers along the border. We have to increase capacity at ports of entry so that we can be inspecting the vehicles that are smuggling this poison in. On the treatment side, again, we got to measure effectiveness. We got to, we have to put resources in to making sure people who are trapped in this addiction are going to have access to the resources they need to recover.
Congressman, you've been very generous with your time, sir. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's great talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Keith Rothfuss represents his state's 12th congressional district, also a member of the House Financial Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.